Good morning and welcome to Atlanta Chinese Christian Church North. We're so happy that you have come out to worship our awesome God with us this morning. If this is your first time here, we want to invite you to introduce yourselves to us towards the end of our worship service. You can just stand up and tell us your name. We would really love to have this opportunity and privilege to welcome and get to know you. Or maybe you have been here with us for a number of times already, but you have never introduced yourself. We want to invite you to do so today, too. Before we go to the Word of God, I have two quick announcements to make. The first one is that our youth Whirlwind Short-Term Mission Team, they have been working really hard in Chamblee for the past week. They are coming back on Wednesday, so I want to invite and remind all of us to keep on praying for them, especially in this very hot weather. I know that many of you have visited them during the week, so I want to thank you for your support. And I know that a lot of the ladies in our church, you have been cooking for them. So we really appreciate your love and what you are doing to support our team. The second announcement is this, that we are having our fast, pray, and care this afternoon, right after the worship service, from 1 to 1:30 in room 205. And so this is our effort to meet the needs among or around us in a tangible way by fasting, praying for those in need, and by donating our lunch money. So I want to invite you to come out and join us if you can. I know some of you cannot fast or you will not be able to stay and pray with us, but if you would still like to donate, we will welcome you to do that. You can look for a box that looks like this. There are two in the back. I will leave this one in the front later. And so we want to encourage you to be a part of this. So this time we will be raising money for the victims of the recent tornadoes and floods. The theme of our church this year is develop mature believers. And we have described a mature believer as one who knows God and his truth, loves God and his people, and serves God and his purpose. I may need your help there. Yeah, thank you. And we have spent a number of weeks on each of these descriptions. For know God and his truth, we have talked about how we can know God's existence with certainty, philosophically, scientifically, and biblically. We have looked at the inspiration, the canonization, the transmission, and the translation of the Bible to gain confidence that the Bible we have today really is the Word of God for us. For love God and his people, we have looked at the Ten Commandments closely and looked at how God wants us to pursue a love relationship with him and with one another. For serve God and his purpose, we talk about what we believe is God's vision for our church and how each and every one of us can learn to overcome our feelings of inadequacies in order to serve God's purpose in our generation. Now, to help us to get a better handle on what spiritual maturity looks like, we begin to look at some of the Bible characters in the Bible as our examples. Previously, we have looked at the example of Joseph, and we learned how God uses even the difficulties and the trials in our lives to build up our character, to equip us for his purpose. And so that when we learn to see our circumstances, our adversities from God's perspective, when we learn how to do things God's way, we can even overcome the most devastating tragedies in life. And we can even learn to forgive those people who have hurt us deeply. Now, this morning, I want to share another portrait of spiritual maturity with you. And we will look at the life of Abraham from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. Now, who is Abraham? I remember as a new Christian, and one of the earliest songs that I learned was a song called Father Abraham. Do you guys know that song? It goes something like this. You can sing along if you want, okay? Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So that's just praise the Lord. And of course, we always have motions to go with it, right? Now, I remember learning that song, and I was so puzzled by the song because I was thinking to myself, now, I don't know who this Father Abraham is because he certainly is not my father. Now, to most people of faith, Abraham is not a stranger to us. The world's three greatest monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all trace their lineage back to Abraham. Now, for Christianity, Abraham is known as the father of faith because he exemplified for us how we are to have complete faith in God and God's promises. And so this morning we are going to look at Genesis chapter 22, and we are going to learn from Abraham what spiritual maturity looks like. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 22. And this morning we will focus on verses 1 through 18. So Genesis, the very first book in our Bible, chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. And in this passage, we are going to see three things. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, we are going to see God's test for Abraham. And then in verses 3 through 10, we are going to see Abraham's response to God. And then finally, in verses 11 through 18, we are going to see God's evaluation of Abraham. So let's begin with God's test for Abraham. Please look at Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2 with me. The Bible tells us sometime later God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." In these two verses, we see, first of all, the severity of God's test for Abraham. Now, this was a severe test because God was asking Abraham to give up his most precious and cherished possession. And this most precious and cherished possession of Abraham was his son, his only son, Isaac, who has brought so much joy and laughter to his life as indicated by his name. This was someone Abraham had always hoped and longed for. Someone he came to love dearly, no doubt, and cherish deeply. Now, this was the miracle child that God promised him and was born to him and his wife, Sarah, in their old age, when they were too old to conceive. This was the promised son through whom Abraham would have countless descendants. And so maybe God asked Abraham to give up his son because Abraham probably had come to love Isaac so much so that maybe Isaac had become an idol to Abraham. Maybe Abraham has come to treasure this gift from God so much that this gift is now more important to Abraham than the giver himself. And so it was precisely because Isaac meant so much to Abraham, God came to Abraham and asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only son, Isaac, whom he loved. Now, not only was this a severe test, we must also recognize that this was a very significant test. This was a significant test because it tested Abraham's faith in God's goodness and character. Because think with me for a moment, why would God take away something that he has promised to Abraham? What kind of God is this who would take away from us what he has graciously given? Why would God want Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, the one that he loves so much? What kind of God would ask us to do something like this to our own children? This was a significant test also because it tested Abraham's faith in God's faithfulness and power. Now, if Isaac is sacrificed, what will become of God's promise to Abraham that he will become the father of nations? How can God make such a demand from Abraham and still keep his promise to him? Now, the Bible tells us God tests our faith in order to reveal the substance of our faith. So how will Abraham respond to this test? What will this test reveal to us about the quality of Abraham's faith in God? And so Abraham's faith was on the line. Let's find out how Abraham responded to God's test. And as we go through this next section, I want to bring to your attention five characteristics of a mature faith. In this section, we are going to see that Abraham demonstrated the substance and the quality of his faith in God through his obedience to God. So let's look at how Abraham obeyed God. First of all, we are going to see that Abraham obeyed God immediately. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Now, I want you to notice the Bible tells us Abraham got up early the next morning. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his servants and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and then he set out for the place God told him. Now imagine if you were Abraham, would you have responded this way? I think I would have been so distressed by what God is asking me to do, I probably could not sleep that night. And then the next morning, I would probably be too tired to do anything. I would just say, you know what? We'll wait until tomorrow. But you see, the Bible here shows us there was no indication that Abraham tried to delay or get out of obeying God in any way. And so this is the first characteristic of a mature faith. A mature faith obeys God immediately. Now, how do we know if someone is spiritually mature? By how quickly this person obeys God. Now, not only did Abraham obey God immediately, Abraham also obeyed God continuously. Look at the next verse, Genesis chapter 22, verse 4. I need a little bit of help with the PowerPoint. Thank you. The Bible tells us on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. This tells us that the journey to the place of sacrifice took 3 days. Now, if I were Abraham, that would probably be the three longest days in my whole life. And I know the way that I am on my way there doing these 3 days, my mind would be going crazy. I would be thinking, you know what, maybe that wasn't God. You know, I probably heard him wrong. I mean, why would God ask me to do something like this? That's just crazy. I would probably have debated and bargained with God. I would probably try to convince God, you know, God, listen, let me tell you why whatever you're asking me to do is not right. You know, this is completely out of your character. This simply doesn't make sense. But you see, the Bible tells us there was no argument, no bargaining, no debate from Abraham with God. He simply persevered. He continued. He pressed on until he arrived at the place that God told him. Now, would you agree with me that initial, occasional, or even temporary obedience to God is actually not that hard? We can start to obey God a little bit. We can once in a while obey God a little bit. It is not that hard to obey God once in a while. But what is really hard is a continuous obedience on a consistent basis. And so this is the second characteristic of a mature faith. A mature faith obeys God continuously. Now, how do we know if someone is spiritually mature? We can tell whether this person obeys God continuously or not. In addition to obeying God immediately and continuously, the Bible tells us Abraham also obeyed God as an act of worship. Look at the next verse, Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. Abraham said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey, and while I and the boy go over there, we will worship, and then we will come back to you." You see, the Bible here tells us that Abraham was going to follow through on God's instruction because God was worthy of his obedience. And that really is what worship is. Anything we do to describe God's worthiness to us. Now, the Bible has never limited worship to singing only, as most of us today would mistakenly equate worship. When Abraham said, "Look, we're going to worship God," he wasn't saying, "Hey, Isaac and I, we're going up to the mountain to sing a few songs, and then we'll come back to you guys, okay?" That wasn't what Abraham had in mind. Worship is anything we do that reveals God's worthiness to us. And so Abraham obeyed God as an act of worship. He was willing to give up his most precious and cherished possession because God was worthy. He got up early the next day. He did all of the preparation. He traveled for 3 days because God was worthy. God meant so much to Abraham. Abraham was willing to give up what is the most precious to him. And he was willing to do all of these things, go through all of these trouble because God was worthy. And this is the third characteristic of a mature faith. A mature faith obeys God as an act of worship. Now, this kind of obedience is not a legalistic fulfillment of an obligation. Okay, I guess I'll do it because I have to do it. No. But a willing surrender that shows, "God, you meant so much to me. I want to give you whatever is my best, because you are worthy." Now, not only did Abraham show his faith in God through his immediate, continuous, and worshipful obedience, here we also see a trusting obedience. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke and said to his father Abraham, 'Father?' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The wood and fire are here,' Isaac said, 'but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went on together." Now, Abraham obeyed God because he believed in God's ability to provide. You see, God was the one who provided Isaac in the first place. When Abraham and Sarah were too old to have children, God gave them Isaac. And so Abraham experienced that there is nothing impossible with God. And so even if God were to take away Isaac, God will somehow provide a way to fulfill his promise to Abraham. In other words, Abraham believed that if God were to take something away from us, God will somehow provide for what we freely give up to him. And this is the fourth characteristic of a mature faith. A mature faith believes in God and what God can do. God can and he will provide. A mature faith does not focus on our problems and our troubles. A mature faith does not focus on our inadequacies and our limitations. A mature faith focuses on God and God's power. A mature faith shifts the attention from ourselves and our circumstances back to God. And finally, we see that Abraham obeyed God completely. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verses 9 and 10. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife and slay his son. You see, the Bible tells us that Abraham didn't obey God partially or 80%. He obeyed God completely, 100%. Now, would you agree with me that this very moment is probably the most difficult part of Abraham's test? To actually pick up the knife, hold it in his hand, and to slay his own son. You see, Abraham didn't say, "Look, God, I tried my best. I really, really tried. Remember, I got up early the next day. Remember, I prepared everything. I saddled my donkey. I summoned my servants. I took my son Isaac. I cut the wood myself. We traveled for 3 days. And we came all the way up here, right? And I even built an altar for you. And I arranged the wood. And I even bound my son Isaac. God, I believe that you will provide. And I really did. And I tried so hard. But I just can't do it. This is just too hard. I've gone this far. Come on, God, you know, this is like what? 99.9%? Isn't that good enough for you? Now, how many of us have heard people use "this is just too hard" as a justification for our failure to obey God? Or how many of us have used this excuse in our own life? "God, this is just too hard," so that we don't have to obey God. Now, Abraham obeyed all the way. He built the altar. He arranged the wood. He bound his son and laid him on the altar. He took the knife and he proceeded to slay his son. And this is the fifth characteristic of a mature faith. A mature faith obeys God completely. A mature faith obeys God all the way, no matter how difficult it is. So let me ask you this morning, what kind of faith do you have? Does your faith result in your immediate obedience to God? Does your faith enable you to obey God continuously? Does your faith empower you to give God all that you have, even your very best, because God is worthy? Do you truly believe that God will provide if God were to take away? Or do you desperately and stubbornly hold on to whatever you have because you're afraid that if you were to give it up, God would never provide anything for you? Can your faith sustain you to obey God all the way, holding nothing back, giving God everything, no matter how difficult? Now, what enabled Abraham to do something like this, to obey God this way? Now, earlier we read from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, where the Bible tells us, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Now, Abraham was able to do what he did because he believed God and God's promises. From his past experience, he has witnessed what God can do. Each time he responded to God with faith and obedience, he came to experience God's power and trustworthiness. He has come to believe that there is nothing too hard for God. He acted the way he did because of what he believed about God. Based on what he knew of God, Abraham reasoned that even if God were to take away Isaac, God can bring him back to life. Notice Abraham's faith was a reasonable faith. He reasoned that God could raise the dead. My friends, Abraham did not have a blind faith, a superstitious faith, or a wishful thinking kind of faith. He had a reasonable faith. He had good reasons to believe what he believed, and so he could act upon it with confidence. Now, what kind of faith do you have? Do you know why you believe what you believe? Do you have good reasons for your beliefs? And so you can act upon it with confidence. What does your action reveal about what you believe? Does your lifestyle demonstrate that you believe in an awesome and a powerful God? Do your choices reveal that God is absolutely worthy of your trust? Or maybe your actions, your choices, and your lifestyle, they reveal that your God is a small, petty, pathetic, or even a fake God. Not even the God of the Bible, but a God of your own imagination. Now, Abraham's faith was a result of a lifelong relationship with God. I want to tell you that no one starts off by having this kind of faith. Now, this is towards the end of Abraham's life. He's been walking with God for decades. And the Bible shows us at the end of his life, Abraham was able to do so because he walked with God all his life. My friend, what an encouragement and an excitement this is for us, because this tells us that if we would walk with God faithfully, we too can have this kind of mature faith. That is great hope, and I hope this is the desire of your heart. Now, let us look quickly at the end of our passage this morning, God's evaluation of Abraham. So what is God's evaluation of Abraham's faith? Well, first of all, God confirmed the substance of Abraham's faith. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." So first of all, we see here that God stopped Abraham from actually sacrificing his son. Now remember, we knew this from the very beginning, from verse 1, that this was a test for Abraham. But Abraham didn't know this was a test. To him, this was a real, actual command from God to be obeyed and carried out. Next, we see how God confirmed the reality of Abraham's faith. Because of what Abraham did, He demonstrated the substance of his faith. And so by obeying God, Abraham expressed his fear for God. Abraham knew that God is to be revered above all else. Abraham knew that God is to be respected at all times. Now, did you know that sometimes healthy fear can be an expression of our love for someone? When we are afraid of disappointing God, when we are afraid to dishonor God, it actually reveals our love for Him because He matters that much to us. Now, in addition to affirming Abraham's faith, God also provided for Abraham because of his faith. Look at the next two verses, Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 and 14. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." Now, do you remember earlier in verses 6 through 8, Isaac asked Abraham, "Where is the lamb of the burnt offering?" And Abraham responded by saying that, "Hey, don't worry, because God will provide." Now, here we see what Abraham believed came true, because Abraham believed something that was true. The appearance of this ram was an example of God's provision. God is a God who provides. God provides us with physical life and everything else we need to live. God provides us with salvation and everything else we need to live a godly life. God provides. Our God is a God who provides. But I want you to notice that Abraham did not experience God's provision until he actually completely surrendered Isaac to God. You see, the ram didn't show up the next morning early. The ram didn't show up 3 days later. The ram didn't show up before Abraham took the knife to slay his son. The ram showed up only after Abraham completely surrendered Isaac to God. And I believe this is a consistent principle in the Bible, that God provides. However, we will not experience God's provision until we have truly surrendered to God completely. Finally, we see God's blessings for Abraham because he obeyed God. Look at the last couple of verses, Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. "The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, 'I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me.'" If complete surrender is a gateway to God's provision, then complete obedience is the pathway to God's blessings. Look at how God confirmed his blessings to Abraham. First, God promised to multiply Abraham's descendants. And do you know that today all the Jews, Christians, and Muslims all call themselves children of Abraham? Truly, Abraham's descendants are as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Second, here we see that God promised victory to Abraham's descendants. And we see the record of their victories in the Old Testament whenever the Israelites responded to God by faith and they obeyed God, they were absolutely unbeatable. And then lastly, God promised that all nations will be blessed through the offspring of Abraham. And we know from the New Testament that this offspring is Jesus Christ. Truly, God's blessing to all nations has come upon all mankind through Abraham's offspring, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us if we repent from our sins and seek God's forgiveness by putting our faith in Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection, then God will forgive us. You see, God blessed Abraham because he obeyed God. We all benefit from God's promise to Abraham because Abraham obeyed God. One man's obedience, one man's faith, resulted in the blessings of multitudes for endless generations. And that is why Abraham is called the father of faith, a portrait of spiritual maturity for us. Now today we have learned from Abraham's example in Genesis chapter 22 that sometimes God asks us to give up what is the most precious to us in order to test our faith in him. And it is of the utmost importance for us to decide and find out whether we fear and trust God enough to do whatever he asks of us, even if he wants us to give up what is the most important to us. Now, when we are willing to freely offer to God even what is the most precious to us, that is when we will experience God's amazing provision. And as a result, we will also find that when we allow God to reign freely in our lives, he returns what we surrender to him with so much more. Now, are you currently being tested by God? What is the most precious to you? Is it a boyfriend? A girlfriend? Is it your spouse? Your child? Or maybe your parent? Is it your school? Is it your work? Or is it your ministry? Is it your finance? Is it your health? Or maybe it is a relationship. Or maybe it's your ability, or even your pride, or your security. Whatever it is, if you have been struggling with trusting God and surrendering to God, and I pray that this morning Abraham's example has been an encouragement and a challenge to you. God will provide, but will you trust him? God wants to bless you and others through you. But first, you must learn to let go of what you try to keep so hard, so that God may be able to fill your empty hands with his blessings and so much more. Now, the Holy Communion reminds us of God's love and power. God loves us so much, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. God is so powerful, he raised Jesus from the dead. And because God loves us, because God is so powerful, he is completely worthy of our trust and our obedience. Now this morning, if you have already trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and you have been baptized in his name, we want to invite you to join us in the Holy Communion. But if you haven't done so, we want to respectfully ask that you will pass on the bread and the cup. But we also want to invite you to trust in Jesus Christ and to get baptized at the earliest opportunity possible. At this time, I want to invite some of our ministry leaders to come up and help me to distribute the bread and the cup. The Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was having a last supper with his disciples. And during this meal, Jesus told his disciples that this is my body, referring to the bread, that is broken for you, whenever you eat of it, I want you to remember what I have done for you. Now, as we wait for the bread to come, I want you to examine your faith this morning. If God has already given you his best, and the Bible tells us if he would not spare even his own son, what other good things would he withhold from us? Now, what are you withholding from God, knowing that he loves you this much? This morning, would you take this time to truly surrender your all to God? Please pray silently. The Bible tells us this bread symbolizes the body of Christ. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. And the Bible tells us God's love for us is definitively demonstrated when Jesus died on the cross. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, God loves you so much. If you can trust God with your eternal life, then what else is in your life that you cannot trust him? As we eat this bread, would you surrender your all to God? Let us eat this bread. The Bible also tells us on during that same meal, Jesus took the cup and he told his disciples, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink this cup, I want you to remember me." So even as we wait for this cup right now, I want to invite you, if in the past week or however long that we have sinned against the Lord, and the Bible tells us anything that is not from faith is sin. Maybe we haven't done anything overtly evil, but we have not trusted God with our lives. Then would you take this time to confess your sins and ask God to forgive you? Because he has promised that he will. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus shed his blood so that our sins may be forgiven. He took God's wrath on our behalf, so we would no longer have to suffer God's wrath, but now we can experience eternal life in Jesus Christ. My friends, if you have been genuine earlier in seeking God's forgiveness, then according to God's promise, all of your sins are forgiven. We no longer need to live in guilt or self-condemnation. God has set us free. And therefore, go live in peace. Be a great witness for God with confidence. Now, if God has forgiven you, don't you ever dare to say that I cannot forgive myself. Because you are not greater than God. If God has set you free, you are truly free indeed. Now, Jesus also tells us when we are set free from our sins, we need to start living a holy life. Go and sin no more. Let us drink this cup, celebrating God's forgiveness of our sins. Please pray together with me. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you and we want to praise you. We do this as an act of worship, Lord, because you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our trust. You are worthy of our time. You are worthy of our understanding. You are worthy of our devotion, and you are worthy of our obedience. Father, I pray that this morning that your word has convicted our hearts, that you have challenged us, that we will want to grow in our faith, Lord, not having a pathetic, a weak faith that cannot be tested, but a strong and a mature faith that can withstand even the most severe and significant test in life. Father, I pray for all of us that we will have a faith that will result in our immediate obedience to you. We will have a faith that will result in our continuous obedience to you. We will have a faith that would allow us to obey you because you are worthy. And that we will have a faith that will allow us to obey you because we believe what you can do. And Lord, give us a faith that will obey you completely so we will not hold anything back. Lord, I know that a lot of us are going through different kinds of trials. So would you reveal to us that you are the God who provides as we lay down our burdens before your cross? Just like years ago, you revealed to Abraham that you provide. Lord, today, do the same. Show us that you provide. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the unchanging love from our Heavenly Father, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.